morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning. Welcome to Democratic Perspectives.
You didn't forget the name of the show, did you?
Yeah, the first anniversary show. There are so many people in the studio.
That's true, Mike. We have a crowd.
You know, and I have the problem with cars, you know, and I'm thinking of getting one of those car elevators like Romney has.
You need a car elevator.
I don't know if it's going to fit in my carport. It had to be very, very flat cars.
Well, it's only if you have a $20 million modest home to put it in, though.
Yeah, my modest home cost a lot less than $20 million. I'm not even sure you can you get a car in your garage? You have a real American garage.
I do have an American garage with lots of stuff in it. But our point this morning is to talk about crazy bills, not crazy houses. We're going to talk about the Arizona legislature and when we consider some of the wacko legislation here. And that's what the crowd is doing here, by the way. This is our anniversary show, right?
Right. This is our anniversary show. We're just going to half an hour now. We've got Gary LeMaster here, who does our website. We've got Chuck Williamson, who gives us financial advice. We've got Bill Timmerman, who you've heard on the show, and Bill's programs on economics and stuff. We've got Dick Searle, who's the secretary of the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, that consists basically of us. And
Mike Cosentino's here again.
Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead. What are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about the Arizona legislature. I saw an article in the Arizona Republic claiming that the Arizona legislature is not crazy by Robert Robb. He says they're just extremely conservative. Is there a difference, Mike?
But he changes that from week to week as the legislature gets a little more wacko.
Should we pick up a bill? Do you want to start, Gary? You want to pick a bill?
Well, I've chosen, hello everybody, I should say first. I've chosen SB 1083, which I like to refer to as a calling all George Zimmerman's bill. It's the idea is to create a volunteer militia that would be called the Arizona Special Missions Unit. It would spend $1.4 million to create the unit. The mission of the unit is to help the state secure the border at the direction of the legislature and the governor. It's all based on the idea that the federal government is not doing its job, which to me, a lot of the legislation is kind of aimed at the federal government.
That we're going to talk about today. Yeah,
right.
That's true.
It's like I keep wondering when we're going to secede.
Yeah, I expect that bill to be coming up pretty soon. Like Gary did, though, we are going to try to announce the number of the bill if we know it, so you can go and look these up.
Mike, knowing it and remembering it at our age is two different things.
Well, we think people are sitting at home with their pens and pencils poised and taking down everything that we say, so.
Gary does a lot of the work. If you go to the VVID website, does a lot of the descriptions and backup information and kind of expansion of the shows we do. Gary provides a lot of that information. Bill Timmerman provides it too. Go to the website, folks. These guys have done a brilliant job on putting it together. Has all our podcasts of all our shows for the last year. And it has their descriptions, their own commentary on this, on the different issues that we raise.
That's true. Like a lot of things like this, it happens because of the support that we have, and then we have some, you know, Bill Timmerman is certainly the intellectual rock of VVID and Democratic Perspective. And
I call him the hard place of VVID.
They tell me I've got rocks in my head, and then they say this on the air.
What's your bill? What's your law?
Mine's HB 2563. That's a House bill. And it mandates courses on the influence of the Bible on the English language. And it has a lot of language in it that tries to avoid conflicts with the constitutional establishment clause that prohibits the establishment of a religion by any government in the United States.
That's what we call the separation of church and state.
Separation of church and state, okay. Yeah. But even with all of the wiggles, what it does is it says you're going to have to show the importance of the Bible in U.S. culture. And my question when looking at it is, well, okay, we're going to single out the Bible because Christianity is the majority religion still in the United States. But the United States is a very diverse country with a lot of religious influences, not only on its language, but on its history, on its politics. So if we're going to single out the Bible, then my question becomes, well, what about the Book of Mormon?
Yeah,
what about
the
Analects of Confucius? We've got a lot of folks of Chinese descent in the United States. We can talk about that a little bit later. Gary hasn't told us all about his yet, have you?
This
is the Special Missions Unit.
Coming back to the Arizona Special Missions Unit, the whole belief is that the federal government isn't controlling the borders. So the mission of the Special Missions Unit is to help the state secure the border at the direction of the legislature and the governor. The unit is to be comprised of all volunteers between the ages of 18 and 45. It claims that they will be a well-trained force, but it provides only 5 days of training. Nevertheless, the bill gives the unit the power to apprehend and arrest. It also directs the unit to seize property from anyone engaged in illegal activities, and the state would then sell the property to help pay for the unit. It gives the members of the unit immunity from prosecution. I thought what was kind of nice was the pledge or the oath that they're to take is ask members to pledge an oath of allegiance to the state of Arizona, promising to serve honestly and faithfully against all enemies.
They included an oath in the legislation?
That's in the legislation.
I see.
One wonders who the enemies are as defined by the governor and the legislature. Is it everyone that is from Mexico, or is it federal government?
Some of these bills, it seems like they're sitting around, knocking back some Jack Daniels and coming up with these things. Now we're going to talk about other not so, and I like to think that the chances of this getting in, like we were talking about before the show, the chances of this getting in are pretty small.
That one's pretty much a done deal, right, Gary?
I think so.
That one's done.
It hasn't come to a vote for the full senator. It hasn't been voted on by the full senator house, I believe, but it has passed every committee so far.
Okay.
It's tinfoil. I mean, there's no tinfoil in him, so it's aluminum. Aluminum hat time.
I mean, Sylvia Allen, you know, the tinfoil hat wearer. Yeah.
Those New Yorkers and Californians better watch out.
My Tea Party back bill here, to halt the green programs. This is Senate Bill 1507, and this is introduced by Senator Judy Burgess from Sun City, Republican from Sun City. This is they advertise this as a Tea Party bill, so it's not my labeling it such. But this would, and they're pushing through this legislation, and this is getting way further than I thought it would, and it's already through the House. This is to quash government-funded efforts to reduce pollution or improve energy efficiency in not only in the state but in cities and counties. This is Chad Campbell, a gentleman we've had on the show before, the Democratic minority leader in the House down in Phoenix, said, "This is the most ludicrous bill I've ever seen in my 6 years in the legislature." He said, "With this legislation, you could pretty much shut down any form of not only environmental subsidy, but any form of government subsidy whatsoever that you disagreed with."
They have another bill where they want to be able to claim our national public lands as state lands and then resell them, Mike, for mining and stuff. They can take our national forests and seize them.
Oh yeah, let me get this one. This is
We're moving a lot of pieces of paper around here with different descriptions of different bills on them.
This is where they demand that the federal government hand over property around the Grand Canyon, 25 million acres to be exact. Some people are calling it a land grab, which is one of those journalistic terms that people like to use all the time. But basically, they want to be able to mine it and take the other resources from around the Grand Canyon, and that the state, the national monument area, should be able to have access to that.
I've got HB 2815 creates a business tax credit incurred due to government regulation and docking the regulating entity for the amount of the credit. So if you pollute, this bill would give you a tax credit for your pollution and then would insist that the government, presumably the federal government, would repay you as well.
The Senate Bill 1507 was, this is an appointed legislature. This was, Judy Burgess was appointed after Scott Bumgard left the, under duress, left the legislature.
Let's ask Chuck a question. Chuck's a long history in banking. He managed the finances of the largest bank in Arizona. We've had a whole series of Arizona tax breaks to business. They've cut deeply into the, education budget in order to do that. What do you think?
Well, if you look at the states with the strongest economy and with the strongest business startup efforts, you find they're almost all high to medium tax states. You don't start businesses. You start businesses where you are. And the way to get new startups is to have seed money available, to have good education. A lot of the like Silicon Valley and the Massachusetts area and the Austin area, they're all based on generating businesses near college campuses where you have the expertise. Good businesses don't move to Arizona because of the low tax rate. They move here because they have an educated population they can hire for their business. So it's not a simple thing. The kind of business you get with very low tax rates are things like call centers, which we've been good at attracting. So Phoenix has lots of call centers. But in effect, in the long run, you're going to be competing with India or other countries for these very low paid jobs. The way to get good jobs is to have smart, educated people. Yet we constantly cut the funds we devote to education, just the exact opposite of what's needed to start good small businesses with good jobs.
And there's a couple of new bills to cut even more, tax credits and stuff. That won't improve things as much. We can't really compete with Vietnam and China in terms of cheap labor and that kind of thing.
Well, an adjacent state, Nevada, has a zero income tax rate. We could go to zero, but does that mean business is going to move from there? The fact is they can have a zero tax rate because they get all their money from the gaming industry. Texas has a very low tax rates across the board because they get huge amounts of severance tax revenue. Alaska not only has no tax, it pays you to live in Alaska, but they get their money from the oil. We don't have those the luxury of those extraction things or the gaming industry or something that's going to pay our way. We're going to have to pay for what we get in the state.
Couldn't we get a lot of uranium from around the Grand Canyon?
We get nothing as a state from uranium mining, except for the jobs. I mean, there'd be a few jobs. Most of that's very industrialized equipment nowadays. And the companies don't necessarily pay us anything. Most of them are not even based in the state.
Why is it that we get nothing? If we have public land, belongs to the American people, and they come and mine it, why don't we get a cut of that, cut of that?
In the 19th century, the federal government came up with extraction laws that had to do with mining, to encourage mining in the West. The federal government does get some tiny amount of revenue from every mine in the state.
5%,
the state gets nothing.
Yeah.
And that was to encourage mining in the West, and it's been successful. There's been mining all over the Rocky Mountains, and Arizona is a big mining state for copper. But the state itself only gets something from the taxes of the people that work there, or if it's a local company that they're taxing.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to add the thought that in going back to the Grand Canyon,
this is Dick
mining,
Searle, by the way,
is that actually the ban on mining is not literally a ban on mining. There are like 2,000 existing claims within the area, and those people who have those mining claims can still operate with them. They've had 30 to 50 years to utilize those claims, and they haven't. Part of the problem with mining is you get large companies, multinational or out of this country, who move in and then they mine. They get the materials and minerals out at very cheap rates as charged. I mean, for instance, 1872 mining law is a pittance as far as return. And so what we're doing is they're extracting from our country. It's almost like we're a third world country as far as what
not
happens.
Not even American companies, you're saying.
They're actually Canadian countries, a big example. Go ahead, maybe you have something on that.
Well, I was just going to say the uranium fantasy that we can somehow generate huge revenues from it depends on needing uranium for new nuclear reactors or new weapons. So we will be replacing some of our weapons over time, but there's no plan to build a net new ones. And the idea of a worldwide demand for new uranium and plutonium-fired reactors for energy purposes was devastated by the Korean tsunami, and many countries, including Germany, are shutting theirs down.
You mean the Japan? But anyway, yeah. I was going to say that in that regard, a lot of the uranium that they would be taking out would go to Korea. It's an interesting aspect. Is this uranium is not being used in the United States. And if they ever get anything out of there.
We've all heard the phrase, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. Dick Searle was actually a rocket scientist. He worked on all the great
that we have our own
programs
rocket
that we did, Atlas and all of that stuff. He's one of our science advisors.
In the land of the blind, one-eyed man is king.
So. There you go. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I was thinking that there's a lot in common with this proposed legislation and with the bill that I was talking about mandating the teaching of the Bible influence in the schools. It may not look like it on the surface, mining law and
education
and yes, religious influence on education, but in fact, both of these things are representative of a push by Republicans in the Arizona legislature to oppose clauses in the Constitution or to reinterpret them, that is the U.S. Constitution, that they don't like. It's an attempt to assert state supremacy over the Constitution, and that's going to be a huge battle. I mean, the state can't take federal lands and start mining in them. It can't violate the Establishment Clause of the Constitution by mandating the importation of specifically Christian doctrine into the education system without running into huge court challenges.
Good points.
And if I were a judge looking at this bill that I'm talking about, House Bill 2563, and I, even with all the mealy-mouth language in it, it would seem pretty clear to me as a judge that the intent is to overturn the prohibition against using the funds of all the people to mandate a religious instruction which is only applicable to part of the people.
It's a Trojan horse.
It's a usurpation of the people's rights, actually, although it claims to be the exact opposite.
They want to seize, one of the things they want to do is seize federal land that belongs to the people of the United States and take it over by the state. And there's us talking, there are representatives and senators who believe in state sovereignty. But I just like to say, I'm a citizen of the United States first. I've lived in Oklahoma, where I was born, lived in New York, I lived in California, I've lived in Arizona. I'm a resident of Arizona. I'm secondarily a citizen of Arizona. But, folks, we are citizens of the United States. If I move to Korea, I'm still a citizen of the United States. I'm not necessarily a citizen of Arizona. So we do have to understand that having a national government which is our national government. We're having a national army, not this what do you call that thing?
Special
Gary?
Missions Unit of the
special
of Arizona.
Special Missions Unit.
On a lighter note, how about the banning photo radar bill?
Oh, I got a delicious bill here.
The banning photo radar.
Okay.
By the guy who gets caught by photo radar.
Frank Antonori has a problem with getting caught. There's a video up on the internet of him pulling up to a red light in his white pickup truck and then seeing that there's nobody coming either way, zooming across, straight across after the light's red. He's had a series of problems with tickets and stuff, and so he has a law he wants passed that will ban photo radar in the cities. It's not on the highways anymore. But one of the things that happened, it says he cleared up a photo radar speeding ticket in Pima County Justice Court. He failed to appear. But the Motor Vehicle Division, of which he has some control over or say in, claimed that they were never notified and had no knowledge of his suspended license. They say it was an honest mistake. But, you know, one of the bloggers says, well, you know, the judge's office is 100-plus miles away, a couple of hours. The MVD office is 100 steps from Trumpy's office and 2 minutes away. So who knows?
Do you have the stuff on the they want to give the Attorney General of Arizona power to sue the Forest Service?
Yes.
For what?
It's anti-environmental stuff, folks. It's always anti-environmental. Think about this beautiful area of northern Arizona. The country still has a problem with extractive industries like the uranium industry. Maybe it's focused in Canada. Maybe they're Canadian companies. They're from other countries. They're from China. But they have lobbyists here, and so they have things that they want done. They want to make more money, which right. is natural. We don't have a problem with that. We have a problem with disguising what they want to do and having such a weak participation, because people get cynical about the American system. It's one of the tragedies now. People are not voting. They're not listening. They're not learning what's going on. If it gets too strong, then we have a country that's really run by special interests. And in Arizona, special interests basically run the legislature. We're laughing and they're kidding about their silly bills, but that's fundamentally what's going on. ALEC legislation, Mike?
Well, that's it. We're seeing a lot of ALEC legislation, not only in Arizona, but nationwide. The American Legislative Exchange Council, kind of an interesting on that, which we'll talk about maybe on another show, is that a lot of corporations are dropping out of that. Coke
they
and
found
Pepsi
out
have,
what it was.
They found out, well, they always knew what it was, but now the rest of the country's finding out what it is. I think thanks in part to a Democratic perspective that this is a law-generating body to put in laws that nationwide that are conservative on the wacky level in many cases. We have, like you said, a lot of these bills are anti-environment. Going back to Senate Bill 1507, Senate Bill denying and taking this, not allowing the state to take any money for environmental upper. The Sandy Barr of the Grand Canyon, I'm just reading a quote from the Arizona Republic here. Sandy Barr of the Grand Canyon chapter of the Sierra Club said, all cities have some of these programs. The conservative and not so conservative alike, even the city of Mesa, a conservative city, has new energy code. She says that many places in the state are served by an environmental and sustainability program, and this bill could kill all of those. It's just wacky, as she said.
The photo enforcement bill I was talking about, Mike wants all the bill numbers, is SCR 1030. It's a real bill. You're not making this stuff up.
Yeah, that's part of it, too.
But one thing that being made up, this is one of my favorite bills. I'm sorry if I go on about it. This is Agenda 21.
What's that?
Agenda 21.
Is that like Area 51?
Yeah, it's sort of like Area 51, but it's more ephemeral or more area than. And it's the theory that there was a conference, a United Nations conference, 178 nations back in 2000, and was it 92?
92, yeah.
92. And they agreed on these very vague but good sounding environmental things. Okay. This was under who I call George Herbert W. Bush, extreme environmentalist and UN secret agent, apparently. It was under his administration that they had the meeting. And the meeting is, if you get 178 nations together to say nice things about the environment and how you balance environment with economic development, you get a bill that doesn't have a huge amount of content. It sounds really good. I mean, I can read long, beautiful sounding passages, but that's become the Area 21 conspiracy.
Right, the 1992 UN declaration that it would try to do incredibly wacko things like eradicate poverty, you know, and help protect the environment. And I guess apparently the United States must be a signatory to that. So
everybody signed it.
Yeah.
You know, a bill everybody signs, folks, is, you know, I don't know, you know, it's good, but it's
innocuous.
It's innocuous. Okay. Yeah, yeah. But there are people out there that believe that somehow this is going to abolish private property.
Right.
Abolish single family homes. They're going, you know, you have to live with two families to a home. I don't even know what that's about. Private cars is going to ban private cars and privately owned family farms. I don't know how they get there, but I wanted to have the most crazy bill toward the end, right?
Yeah, yeah, they do kind of lean that way.
Last words, Gary.
Well, I think listening to all this, I think there's a pattern that you can see is that it seems that the people in the legislature have a real problem with the federal government and with the UN and everybody else. I would like to know how much money that we have spent, and I'm going to try and look this up, to sue the federal government for you know all of the bills that we have disagreements with. Why don't we just go ahead and secede? I don't understand.
Don't encourage him to do that.
Chuck, any last?
Well, my last words are the way to help business is to have well-educated people for them to hire.
Radical.
I'll segue concept from that right into this business about teaching the Bible in the schools. All I will say is that in a state where our per pupil education expenditure is near the bottom of all 50 states, we have a legislature that when it writes education legislation wants to talk about teaching the Bible in the schools. My question is, where are their priorities? This is not what we're paying them for.
Dick? My feeling is that basically we have an anti-environmental attitude. Maybe it comes from a paranoia about what somebody, I don't know, is trying to do to this country. The United Nations seems to be a primary source in their minds. But in any case, I am concerned about the environmental effects of some of this legislation. And, of course, the one that Steve talked about, that bill sort of exemplifies that kind of an attitude.
Be informed and respond. We beat up the legislature pretty good this morning. But we do want to get a few announcements in. April 11th at the Sedona Library, we are going to have the Democrats of the Red Rocks have the movie Crossing Over. This is a movie starring Harrison Ford, but it deals with the immigrant story on different nationalities. And we have our breakfast speaker, Luis Fernandez, is going to be in town on April 19th. That's Thursday at 8 a.m. Luis Fernandez is going to be at the Old Sedona, and he grew up during the Nicaraguan Revolution and is going to talk about his view of policy dissent, social control, and anti-globalization.
Visit the website, folks. We would really appreciate your support, and we'll be back next week. I hope you enjoyed the expanded 30-minute show. Thanks, everybody, for coming in today. It's crowded. Tom has got his hand signals up. 5, 4, 3, 2. Listen to us again next week, please.
You've
been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.